This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
When you're out of work, you don't spend money like you normally do. You cut back. And right now, this country is not fully at work. The outrage by Americans that the COVID relief bill would spend billions on foreign governments and give peanuts to Americans, that's quite understandable. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy accused Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats of selective hearing Wednesday night after President Trump called for Congress to raise coronavirus stimulus checks from $600 to $2,000. Still, only a few in D.C. are talking about cutting the wasteful spending during this crisis. Presidential pardons keep rolling out. Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, Charles and Jared Kushner were pardoned by President Trump. Trump has pardoned 26 people so far. The United Kingdom and the European Union are closing in on a post-Brexit trade agreement after months of negotiations. A deal is expected to be announced on Christmas Eve. USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
COVID-19 vaccine distribution priorities vary from state to state. USA Radio News' Tim Berg explains.
A state prison in Central California has received some of the first coronavirus vaccines, which are being administered to the prisoners and some of the guards. That's not the case in Florida, though, where Governor Ron DeSantis says he remains committed to getting Florida's older population the coronavirus vaccine, but he's asking them to be patient. The Republican governor saying doctors, nurses, and other frontline workers will be first in line to be vaccinated, but seniors could be rolling up their sleeves as soon as Monday.
We don't have enough vaccine to do everyone 65 and older in Florida at this moment. We have over 4 million people in that age group. We have vaccine doses that are in the hundreds of thousands over and above eventually once we get through the long-term care and the nurses.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
President Trump continues his presidential pardons this week. USA Radio News' Dan Araki has more.
President Trump has issued another 26 full pardons after issuing a dozen on Tuesday. Wednesday's pardons included longtime advisor Roger Stone and former campaign manager Paul Manafort. Stone previously had his sentence for lying to investigators and witness tampering commuted. He tells Fox News that he was charged by the Mueller investigation strictly because he would not lie about President Trump.
In July of 2019, the Mueller prosecutor, specifically Jeannie Reed, approached my attorneys just before the release of the Mueller report, seeking my cooperation, essentially in return for some unspecified leniency in sentencing. In other words, they wanted me to lie. They wanted me to bear false witness against the president, and I refused to do so.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Less Americans are taking to travel this holiday weekend. USA Radio News, Tim Berg.
AAA is projecting a
big drop in holiday travel.
So we're looking at about 30% fewer people traveling. So that means maybe roughly 85 million people will travel. But compared to last year, that's a pretty steep drop off.
Andrew Gross with AAA, that audio courtesy of the Broadcast Retirement Network. Gross also saying that 96% of those who decide to travel will be going by car. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
And independent. This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here, and we've got the renowned researcher, George Barna, with us to talk about, he poses this idea that, are we looking at Donald Trump, the last conservative president? That's the question, George, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, if you follow a lot of different patterns of what's going on in our culture, not only demographically, but in terms of our spiritual foundations, we're moving farther and farther from being willing to have a literal translation of the Bible, to take it at face value, and to believe that those principles really ought to be affecting every dimension of our life. When you look at what it is that people want for the future, they want the government to take care of us. They don't want personal responsibility for their own lives. That's one of the trends that we see developing, and that does not augur well for having conservatives in office in the future.
Are we going to have to experience the law of gravity experiences I refer to, that sometimes people have to fall off the roof to find out gravity still exists? I mean, are they going to have to realize, and experience the very thing they're hoping for to appreciate that, freedom does work?
Well, we would hope that that's not the case, but what we find in America is that so frequently people choose to act rather than to reflect. Mm-hmm. If we sit down and think logically and rationally about what we're experiencing, about where we're going, why we're headed in that direction, we can understand it and we can make changes now before we fall into the pit. But it seems like Americans like to fall into the pit and then congratulate themselves for their ingenuity on ways of figuring how to get out of the pit. So, there's a great possibility that we may have to experience suffering that's not necessary, but that's just the way that we live in this country.
Is this a lack of leadership issue? And I'm talking about it philosophically, because, what we want to be conditioned to believe is that social media, these influencers, people that really do not reflect what we would call honest leadership qualities, they seem to drum out, the Trumps of the world. And I see Donald Trump as a definitive leader, clearly, compared to those that are being presented to us as false leaders.
Yeah, it's a good point. When you talk about leadership, the heart of leadership is vision. Being able to identify and communicate a compelling idea for what the future will be like. And in many ways, I think that's what America has been lacking, either because it hasn't been communicated to us or people haven't bought into it. Certainly the media has not been good at reflecting that kind of vision. Their whole goal is, let's just get more eyeballs, and so let's create controversy. rather than let's figure out how we can serve the people and help to develop a consensus around that kind of vision of who we want to be as a country, what kind of people we want to be, what each of us is going to bring to the table to serve others and have that mentality. So, yeah, I think we've certainly been lacking that. The other thing about leaders that you know, when I teach about this, I tell students, you got to understand leaders only do two things. They create conflict and then they resolve the conflict. Right. And the way that they resolve it is based on that vision.
Exactly.
But the way that they create it is by casting it in the first place, and that's what gets the conversation going.
Right.
And then you've got to resolve it based on saying, here's what it could look like.
And this is what Donald Trump did. I've seen him since he came on the scene as an agent of exposure. You know, we've seen the rank, you know, corruption in our three-letter agencies of our government, the waste, the inefficiency, our poor standing that reflected our and made us vulnerable when it comes to national security. I mean, at every turn. And this idea of America first, I mean, he cast that vision. But unfortunately, with the resistance of the left and, you know, and I'd say the collusion, not only of the left, but joined in with the mainstream media and social media influencers, these corporate entities. I mean, it was a pig pile against Donald Trump. It's a wonder that he was even able to accumulate some 74 million votes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what we're really talking about here is this continuing battle where on the one side you've got truth and integrity fighting for our freedom and our future, and on the other side you've got denial and selfishness where there is a completely different set of objectives that they're pursuing. You know, it's kind of the battle between an America first versus a new world order kind of thinking.
Right. Well, it's totally amoral. I mean, the left, there's no morality. There's no conscience. I mean, it's all about, you know, the ends justifying the means. You know, Lindsey Graham called him out, said, hey, look, you want power and control. And they've been, you know, they were fully exposed there during the Kavanaugh hearings. And meanwhile, you know, a majority of Americans, I mean, based on the voting, have bought into that doctrine. And Lord have mercy, because I like you, George, I believe ultimately, and we've seen this in our lifetimes, the truth ultimately wins, but we may have to go through some tough times here in order to regain a footing for truth.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, typically what you find is that truth is such a valuable commodity, you've got to fight for it.
Yes.
You know, because I mean, the nature of our life is that we're engaged in that kind of battle. And so we have to be willing to wage that fight for truth. Mm-hmm. We have to recognize that this election was really about worldview, and people are voting in massive numbers for an anti-biblical worldview. If that isn't a wake-up call to the church, I don't know what is.
Yeah, and it's quite astounding on its face. Now, whether or not the ballots boxes were stuffed, which there seems to be evidence to that end, but still, you know, you've got a number of people in a 50-50 society that believes in the principles of, you know, of socialism and what the Democrats had sold them on. And, you know, that is the reality. But, you know, it really requires people who believe in the truth. I mean, we're back to, you know, the first chapter of Genesis, you know, the existence of good and evil, are we not?
We sure are. And it comes back to what you and I talked about a few weeks back, where we know that about 3 out of 4 Americans believe that people are basically good. Newsflash, we're not.
Yes.
I mean, that's exactly what you're talking about. The Bible opens up by alerting us to that fact and saying, you know what, we're going to have to deal with this sin issue. Americans don't want to deal with it. And that's a large part of the reason why you got 94% of Americans who do not possess a biblical worldview.
You know, it's really scary when you think about that. We've got about a minute left. Real quick, you know, to clarify, I want people to understand biblical worldview. What do you mean by that, George?
Well, everybody has to make decisions, and you make your decisions through an intellectual and emotional and a spiritual filter that we all possess. The nature of that filter can be based on biblical principles, or it can be based on worldly principles. And And as we study this, we ask, you know, 90-some questions of people and find that most of their perceptions do not come from biblical principles. It comes from the world. And so the decisions that they're making are more influenced by the world than they are by God's word. And so as we measure that, that's how we conclude that when we put it all together, only about 6% of people have decisions that are primarily driven by God's truth.
Exactly.
People's decisions are driven by the world.
We'll get more into that on the other side of the break. Stay with us. More from George Barna after this.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Here's Don Schenk with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 27 languages.
Working with local missionaries in Mozambique, the Tide Ministry recently began broadcasting a program aimed to train pastors to diligently lead their congregations. The program also serves to deliver the gospel to believers and those who have yet to believe. After hearing a broadcast on John 3:16, one listener shared that he had never been taught about God's saving grace. And he encourages the Tide Ministry to continue its broadcast so that others may learn about Jesus and accept salvation as he did. It's edifying to hear from listeners who are touched by the Tide programs. Pray that more believers will be uplifted and that those who are not yet Christian will be open to hearing the gospel message and beginning their own journey of salvation.
To learn more about how the Tide radio programs are helping to train pastors and share the gospel with listeners in Mozambique, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive.
Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you, Fresh and Independent, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. I am Bill Martinez. Good to have you with us. George Barna continues with us. George, we're talking about a biblical worldview and also how it relates to Genesis and the, you know, the fight, the war against, you know, good and evil. That's what stands before us this day. And God was real clear. He said evil is going to be there. It's going to want to consume you. But how do you resist evil?
Yeah, and it also raises the question about, and how do you define what's right? Mm-hmm. You know, in America, we've got a culture now that is so extensive, so broad, that we're getting messages all the time about how to define evil. And so people think that politics has nothing to do with faith. Let me tell you, there are more people in America today who take their cues about morality, about what's right or wrong, from what Congress and state legislatures have defined as right or wrong, and are taking their messages from the Word of God,
exactly,
who defines what truth is. And so we're in a fight. I mean, we look at the media, we look at schools, we look at conversations that people are having with their friends, their peers, their family. All of those things are influencing their thoughts, and that's pushing out what it is that God gave to us in His Word.
Without a doubt. Well, take, for example, abortion. I mean, the government and the judicial system put the good housekeeping seal of approval on it. 60 million plus abortions later, and the reality of women who were part of the abortion process grieve to this day. Suicides abound. Hearts are breaking, and they carry with them till the day they die the loss of a child that could have been.
And when we look at the whole issue of abortion and what people go through and the choices they make, you know, so much of it comes back to that 60s phrase, if it feels good, do it.
Yeah.
And without recognizing what our parents were always trying to tell us, choices have consequences.
Exactly.
And so you've got these battling ideas about how to deal with reality. And what we're finding is that these days in America, convenience and comfort typically win out over truth and integrity.
We are in a sad predicament right now, and as you said, the consequences are increasing and becoming more dire, as the book of Ecclesiastes says, because a sin is not rectified immediately. In essence, it becomes complicated. It snowballs down the road, doesn't it?
It does. You know, and one of the reasons why I love reading Ecclesiastes is not only does it tell us that there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, sin has been going on since humanity hit the earth. But the truth of the matter is, the very end of that book, it says, you know what? Love God and obey His commands.
Amen.
That's the end of life. It's that, how simple can you make it?
Yeah, exactly. It's as simple as when God said to Cain, if you do right, will it not go well for you, right? So you can put that alongside it. I agree with you. A recent survey that you conducted after the election, you revealed that 99% of what we called sage cons, the spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative Christians, voted in the recent presidential election. I mean, that's incredible. 99%? That's an almost impossible number, isn't it?
Pretty much. I mean, you're not going to get much higher. You know, I've been doing political research since the 70s, and I've never seen anything like that in my surveys or anybody else's, where you have almost universal turnout. And then the other astounding thing about it is not only did 99% of these spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative Christians, not only did 99% turn out to vote, 97% of them voted for Donald Trump. That kind of consensus in terms of, and unity in terms of who they voted for, we've never seen anything like that.
Yeah. Well, compared to the national turnout of 66%, I mean, this is overpowering. No wonder Barack Obama was chastising particularly the evangelical Hispanics, you know, for voting for Trump, right?
Yeah, and it also explains partly why it is that governors in states across the country are so anxious to close down churches. Mm-hmm. It's not because churches are necessarily telling people how to vote, because they're not. In fact, this research showed that churches haven't even been helping Christians to figure out how to vote, how to think about the issues.
Wow.
But the is that Christians then get to see each other and to talk to each other, and they'll discuss these things. And so many people from a liberal or a progressive persuasion don't want that to happen. And so it's one of the ways of trying to tamp down this kind of consistency of thought, which these sage cons have demonstrated. But yeah, it's certainly one of the challenges that we're going to have in the future. How can we make sure that we retain that kind of a coalition?
Exactly. Well, and you touched on something that's so important here, George, and that is that we have to maintain that ability to exercise our First Amendment right of free speech. We have to be able to talk, regardless of our disparate views. Daphne Barak, a good friend of mine and dear friend of President Trump, an ally, has just released a documentary, and she went to Hollywood and interviewed, I think, around 24, 25 entertainment figures. So you can imagine their spectrum of political consciousness and activism, and it ran the gambit. But the bottom line, after all was said and done, they said, we have to talk. As painful as it may be in some cases, we have to be able to talk and listen.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, when you look at what is it that distinguishes a dysfunctional family from a functional family, so much of it revolves around communication.
Amen.
Understanding. Mm-hmm. That sense of belonging and being able to work with each other. I mean, we really need to get back to that in this country.
You know, going back to that number that you addressed earlier, 97% of 99% of the sage cons vote for President Trump and he loses? How? I mean, you can't even reason that.
I'll be honest with you. I have worked the numbers and worked the numbers and worked the numbers, and I can't get there. I can't get to a Biden victory.
Right.
You know, I can understand how he won the popular vote, and that's because you've got huge red states like
New York and California, right?
Yeah, and they run it up. I get that. But when you look at it state to state to state, there's just no pathway there.
Mm-hmm. Well, not to mention the fact that you have, you know, what some are denying as evidence, but it is evidence of poll watchers saying, you know, specific things happen. You had ballot dumps. You had ballots, according to one reporter, that came in that almost looked like it came off a printing machine. There were no legible, fold marks that you would see on any other ballot. It was like it just came off the machine, and the oval was only was darkened for Joe Biden only. There was no down ballot voting whatsoever, and of course, this would probably explain why so many Republicans were able to flip House seats to where we'll probably have one of the closest majorities in our history.
Yeah, and there are a number of renowned cybersecurity experts that are now testifying about the fact that, yes, forensically you can see how things were changed in computers. So, you know, I don't think the election's over yet. But, we've got to be diligent. One of the problems we've got in America is that we like things fast-paced. We like things to change in terms of entertainment. And frankly, most Americans are looking at the election as entertainment. And now they're losing interest. They say, okay, I get it. Yeah. What's next? Well,
right.
We can't give this up yet because too much is at stake.
Exactly.
About our freedom. We're talking about free elections.
Without a doubt. And, of course, a critical election in Georgia for two Senate seats. Already people threatening to move to Georgia, which would be, again, illegal for them to do. You've got, one former aspirant for governor who's never ceded her position. She claims she's still the governor, even though she was 80,000 out. 80 million, I said, was no, not 80 million, 80. 80,000 votes away, but supposedly she has over 680,000 votes in her back pocket. What's up with that?
Well, it
never ends, does it?
I know. If they could use that creativity in Hollywood, you know, I think we'd enjoy television programming a lot more.
Yes. He's a professor at Arizona Christian University, the president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU, George Barna. George, thank you as always, buddy. Take care. Merry Christmas, huh?
Same to you, Bill. Thanks.
Who needs a 15-year mortgage when you can get Network Capital's historically low 30-year fixed rate at 2.25% with an APR of 2.27%? You'll never have to refinance again. Network Capital is offering our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever, 2.25% with a 2.27% APR and with no origination fees or discount points. That's right, zero zip zilch. Network Capital has a reputation for saving people time and money with our efficient process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.25% with a 2.27% APR. These are historically low rates, so refinance it and forget it. That's a 30-year fixed at 2.25% with a 2.27% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding Corporation now. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight and the Finance Lenders Law. Number 603-787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
When you're out of work, you don't spend money like you normally do. You cut back. And right now, this country is not fully at work. The outrage by Americans that the COVID relief bill would spend billions on foreign governments and give peanuts to Americans, that's quite understandable. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy accused Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats of selective hearing Wednesday night after President Trump called for Congress to raise coronavirus stimulus checks from $600 to $2,000. Still, only a few in D.C. are talking about cutting the wasteful spending during this crisis. Presidential pardons keep rolling out. Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, Charles and Jared Kushner were pardoned by President Trump. Trump has pardoned 26 people so far. The United Kingdom and the European Union are closing in on a post-Brexit trade agreement after months of negotiations. A deal is expected to be announced on Christmas Eve. USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Here just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Jim Dennison is with us. Well, I'll tell you what an honor to have Jim with us. Jim is the co-founder, visionary of the Dennison Forum, pastor, author, and podcaster. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great today, Bill. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. I it's the season. Here we are, the Christmas season, the start of a new year. As tough as 2020 has been on us, I think there's some things of a positive nature that we can draw out of this. And what I always, default to, Jim, I don't know if this works for you, is I have to default that God is sovereign no matter what.
Absolutely. In fact, years ago, I came to a conclusion, Bill, that has really encouraged me over the years, and that is that God redeems all that he allows.
Ooh,
because
yeah.
He's sovereign, he has to allow or cause all that happens. Because mm-hmm. it's love, he always wants what's for our best. Because he's perfect, he can never make a mistake. So if he allows anything, he doesn't redeem for a greater good. He's made a mistake in allowing, and he can't do that. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying I'll understand that redemption this side of heaven. Now we look through glass darkly, but one day face to face. But I'm convinced that he is. He's in the business mm-hmm. right now of redeeming for a greater good everything we're seeing, no matter how difficult it is.
Exactly. And the thing is, we can draw from his word, God's character, because God cannot act in conflict with his character, right?
That's exactly right. He says in Malachi 3, I, the Lord, do not change. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 13 says Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So circumstances don't change his character. Not at all. We need to look at circumstances through the prism of God's character and not the other way around.
And the challenge is, you mentioned this. In fact, I had this conversation with Jonathan Kahn last month, Jim, and that is that we were talking about God's will in the Lord's Prayer, you know, God's will be done. And I said, the challenge that I have is understanding God's will versus my will, because I want my will, my perception of God's will to, you know, to be part of the solution. How arrogant of me to think that that's even conceivable, right?
It's human nature. It goes back to Genesis 3, the first temptation, you will be as God, knowing good and evil. I'm convinced, Bill, that every temptation is just a variation on that same theme. Be your own God by stealing this or lying about that or having this other attitude or action, and then wanting God to concede his will to my will. And part of what makes that so difficult for me is we kind of get this transactional idea. If I go to church on Sunday, God has to do what I want him to on Monday. If I pray enough, God will bless me. If I read the Bible, if I give money, then I'm kind of got under my thumb. It's kind of like the old Greeks that played a sacrifice on the altar of the gods so the gods would bless their crops.
Right.
We have this kind of transactional relationship with God, and we think that we earn the right to have our will be his will when he is sovereign and is not bound by anything I just said.
Yeah, exactly. And the interesting, and I believe we're learning this the hard way through this process, for those of us who consider ourselves to be men and women of faith, because that's what I'm hearing consistently, Jim, is that people are looking up like never before, praying like never before. You know, don't look to get this news from the mainstream media. You're not going to hear it from the mainstream media. You may hear it at church. You may hear it within your close circles. But understand this, I'm telling you, there are bonfires of prayer, and they've been fanned by you know, passionate followers of God who are encouraging people to pray. And I'm talking about Franklin Graham, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about others, and even on our show where we're saying, look at, you know, prayer is what we have. I mean, that is the ultimate weapon that God has given us, and we complain about it, and I'm sure that God looks down on us and says, look at knuckleheads, I gave you the weapons of your warfare. You're going into battle buck naked and wondering why your head's being handed to you.
So true. It really is. And if I were God, I would be saying it just like that, actually. I think we'd absolutely deserve that. So
right.
I love taking people to Israel. I've done that more than 30 times over the years. And we always go to Caesarea Philippi. And it's at this place, though, that there's this massive cave that originally had a spring. It's been kind of filled in through an earthquake back in the 19th century. But that spring went so deeply into the earth that they couldn't measure the depth. So they called it the gates of the underworld, or the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell. And it's at that very place, which in Jesus' day had a massive temple to the worship of Caesar, next to it a temple to the worship of Zeus, 14 temples to Baal scattered around, every kind of idolatry known to the day. It's right there that Jesus brought his followers and said, on this rock I will build my church. Not in Jerusalem at the temple, not in Capernaum at the synagogue, right there. And then he pointed at that very thing and he said, and the gates of hell will not withstand its assault. And I make the point, when we take people there, we've come to where Jesus founded the church, and he founded the church to attack hell. If we're not attacking hell, we're not the church.
Exactly.
Might be a religion, might be an organization, but we're not the church. When we're attacking hell, that's when we're the church, and that's when we have the protection of God. That's when we have the spiritual armor of Ephesians 6, which, by the way, only covers the front, not the back. If I retreat, I'm on my own. If I advance in prayer, I have the power of God.
And interesting, when you consider the armor of God at that time, of course, people knew how the Romans fought. They fought in men of fours, so that they were watching each other's back, and they were a powerful force in and of themselves. They were trained to be, you know, almost this human Ginsu knife effect, you know, that would take on the enemy, right? So it tells you, you can't do this on your own, that though you may have the full armor of God and you're praying for that, you need others to come alongside to watch your six so you can watch their six, and, you know, that we come in into these little mini squads, so to speak, but a very powerful and effective military strategy.
Exactly so. And that's why you didn't need armor on your back, because you had your buddy on your back.
Exactly.
You had the guy you were beside. You were never to do this alone. Every image of the church in the Bible is collective. It's a body with many parts, a vine with many branches, no solos in the book of Revelation. So when Jesus founded the church, that's a collective thing. That's a collective entity. He didn't bring Peter and say, you will attack the gates of hell. He brought the entirety of the movement, as it were, his disciples, and said, you together will attack the gates of hell. We only do this well when we do it together.
Exactly. And this is God's economy of things. We love God. We love each other. We serve God. We serve each other. You know, that's a horizontal and vertical relationship that when it's working in our lives, and I know anybody hearing this will measure that and agree that when that is that's in rhythm and that's operating, boy, we're a powerful force, aren't we?
And that's how it works. And that's when we're attractive to the culture. When the culture sees that we have a passion for a cause greater than ourselves and that we have a community of people that are unconditionally committed to each other. That's what the secular culture doesn't have. It doesn't have a cause bigger than itself, and it doesn't have a sense of a community that cares about it unconditionally. When we offer the culture that, we demonstrate the attractiveness and the beauty of the Christian movement.
Yes, exactly. Well, as I said, more and more people, Jim, instinctively are turning their eyes up. They're looking to God, maybe like they haven't done in a long time. And we're seeing a lot of new faces in the church today. And it really, the onus is really on God's church today to measure up, to, you know, look in terms of the seven churches of Revelations. Where are you in relationship to those seven churches? Are you lukewarm? Have you forgotten your first love? Are you still passionate about those things that you were from the beginning? I think it's a good time to consider that for the church, because what's unleashing right now and what is about to come is almost, I believe, Jim, you know, kind of like the lost opportunity that we had in 9/11. We didn't anticipate 9/11. It happened to us. The churches were filled in the weeks after 9/11, and the church was not prepared. They did not handle it very successfully. Do you think?
Absolutely true. I was pastoring a church of 10,000 members in Dallas at that time. We have the largest sanctuary in our part of the city, and so we hosted an event, a prayer event, on the Thursday after 9/11 that was packed. We had ministers from all denominations who came and joined in this kind of collective interfaith worship service to call out to God, to pray. That next Sunday, we were overflowing in our three services. By 3 weeks later, it was like it never happened.
Wow. That's amazing.
And the point from that, as you're making, I've not heard anyone say this, Bill, but I think this is brilliant. We have an opportunity now to get ready for this in a way we didn't for that.
Exactly.
We have a way now to be praying together, to be organized, to be committed to biblical truth in advance that we didn't have then. And let's not miss it.
And Jim, I got to tell you, this idea of a sense of urgency comes up in my spirit, is that, yes, we have time, but we've got to move quick, because the injured are becoming, or they're going to be coming in record numbers, I believe. Our conversation with Dr. Jim Dennison continues. Stay with us.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Whether it's buying a home or just saving for a rainy day, setting financial goals can feel overwhelming at any stage of life. That's why Bank of America launched a new digital experience to help clients easily define and make progress toward their goals. Bank of America Life Plan helps clients prioritize short and long-term financial goals, breaks them down into attainable milestones, and adjusts as life changes. Bank of America's Eve Varner.
Life Plan tracks progress toward your goals while also helping to navigate the next step. This latest digital experience from Bank of America offers insights tailored to your unique financial needs by sharing tips, providing resources, and connecting you with financial specialists along the way.
Available in both English and Spanish, clients can access Life Plan through Bank of America's mobile and online banking platforms. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC. For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/lifeplan.
Would you like to be $600 richer in the next 10 minutes? Then make a free phone call and switch your car insurance to AIS. We get it. Car insurance is boring. We make it fast, fun, and easy. You make one call. We shop dozens of the best car insurance companies and offer you a way to save up to $600 on your car insurance. There are so many special deals and discounts. The best way to get them is to call. Based on your area, we have special discounts for military, teachers, engineers, and good students. Even discounts for low mileage and accident-free drivers. AIS has tons of ways to save you money on your car insurance. Make a free call right now to see what you qualify for. New customers who switch to AIS save an average of $600.
800-452-0072. 800-452-0072. 800-452-0072. That's 800-452-0072.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Bill Martinez, live.
14 minutes before the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. Dr. Jim Dennison is with us. And, of course, Jim is the visionary and founder, co-founder of the Dennison Forum, pastor, author, and podcaster. Jim, I wanted to talk about the article that you wrote. It's very appropriate for this season, about what the Bible says about Santa Claus and how to turn. I really like this. I like this concept that you captured here, is how to turn the holidays into holy days.
Well, thank you. It's something that starts out of my own experience as a grandfather. So I just need to tell you and those listening to us right now, Bill, and I know this is hard to believe. Not everybody will go with me here. I have four grandchildren, and they're perfect. They are brilliant.
Yes.
And inherited original sin skipped them somehow. I don't know how that happened, but somehow it did. And I have no theological explanation for that, but I'm convinced of it.
Yes.
Now, my sons aren't.
That's what makes us believe in miracles, Jim. I want you
that's
to know
exactly
that.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And it also brings to light the fact that God, the grandchildren are God's reward for not killing your children. I think there's some truth in that.
Yes.
But nonetheless,
yes.
My grandkids are about to turn 7, 2 are 4, and 1 is 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So the question comes up, what do we tell our kids about Santa Claus? What do we tell them about Christmas? How do we turn this very secular holiday into a holy day that can help our family and our kids understand the faith even better? So the paper was written out of that personal place, as well as a more public desire to help Christians redeem this day and redeem this time to the glory of God.
And the thing is, there's something innate about this holiday, something special that God has anointed that calls us to that that higher calling, doesn't it? To go into the season with higher expectations, and the idea that we really want to honor God and really make it truly a holy day, and and we're fighting prevailing winds that, headwinds, like you say, some people don't want to quite hear it this way, but I believe that in their heart of hearts, they really want this to be, a time for holiness and holy days. I mean, my goodness, this is a time we remember that God himself, sovereign that he is, delivered the solution to his creation in the form of a baby in a manger.
It's a miracle beyond miracles, isn't it? When I take people to Israel, we always go to Bethlehem, and we go down to where it happened. And I'm sorry to say, Bill, it looks nothing like the manger scenes that we have on our mantles. It was a cave. It was filled with animals and fire and smoke and dirty and musty and all of that pretty ugly place, quite frankly. It wasn't this beautiful place we think of. The manger in which Jesus was laid was actually a stone feed trough. And so here's the Son of God who could have been, if he even chose to come as a helpless baby, could have been born in the temple in Jerusalem, could have been born in the palace, could have been born any place, and chose to be born in the most nondescript, simple place on imaginable, to show us this. If he would be born there, he'll be born again in any heart, even my heart, even your heart.
Yeah, that's powerful. I got to tell you, Jim, disappointingly, when I went to Israel, Bethlehem was off limits, and it calls me, so I need to get back there again. But there's so much, you know, there was so much to take in, and it was overwhelming. But, you know, as people have said, even before I went, they said, Bill, you have no idea how much the Bible will come alive when you go to Israel. And, I found that to be so true, right?
Yeah, it turns 2D into 3D and black and white into color. Absolutely does. You're living in the text. I've been, like I said, 30 times, and every time is like the first time. I don't do this for a living. I just do it because I love doing it so much. I started doing it as a pastor, and we actually had 4 trips this year we had to cancel because of travel restrictions. Have 5 for next year we're excited about. And just being there in the culture, being part of it all, just makes all the difference.
Well, if you need somebody to carry your luggage, I may want to accompany with you on one of those.
Let's work that out.
Okay. Hey, how do we celebrate Christmas, or why do we celebrate Christmas on December the 25th?
Great question. Yeah, because according to Scripture, Jesus was most likely born in the spring. Mm-hmm. That being the case because the shepherds were keeping watch over the flocks by night out in the fields. I've been to the shepherds' fields any number of times. And in the winter, they would keep their flock inside the cave system that's there. There's even one cave that might be likely the place where they would do that. And also, the Roman census would not have taken place in the winter because it was too cold, too wet, too difficult to travel. So most likely born in the springtime. So why December 25th? Well, there was this Roman tradition by which the birth of the sun, S-U-N, was practiced around December 25th because of the winter solstice. So over the centuries, and it took a long time, early Christians didn't really celebrate Christmas per se. It's 3rd, 4th century by the time you really see this gaining some traction. They're deciding to redeem that pagan holiday and use it to accomplish a spiritual purpose by turning the birthday of the S-U-N to the birthday of the S-O-N. They're redeeming a tradition for a larger purpose, which is what the paper suggests we do with all of Christmas, to turn holidays to holy days.
And it's been amazing when you think about the history of Christmas, especially here in the modern era in the United States, you know, with the Christmas music, the pageantry, everything. Gosh, I'll tell you, the creativity of God's creation is it's undeniable.
Yeah. And once you see all of that through the eyes of faith, then you're right. Every place you look, it's like Christmas is happening again, isn't it? Mm. You're hearing the angels again. You're feeling his presence and his peace again. And that's a lot of how these traditions started. The Christmas tree, for instance, was Martin Luther walking through the Black Forest in Germany, seeing the stars twinkling through the trees, bringing the tree of home to recapture that with the candles. The candles being symbolic of Jesus, the light of the world. And then others pick up that tradition, but it also points us to the tree on which Jesus died. When you see a Christmas tree, Luther wants you to remember he was born to die.
Yes.
He came to be our Savior, not just a baby, and did that for our sake.
Right. And even the form of a Christmas tree, how it takes on the form of a cross, doesn't it?
It does. And it's an evergreen,
yes,
demonstrating the evergreen nature of God's love for us and the fact that we can bring this life from outside our home into our home in the same way we can bring the life of God's love into our hearts.
Isn't it amazing, Jim, when you stop to think about it and see how God has used his creation in such a way that really, you know, gives us such, you know, spiritual insight and consequence when you take these things, you know, from the candle to the trees and how this comes about. And, you know, as they say, Christmas music, there's something about it that, you know, it's almost like the angels in heaven said, hey, God, can we anoint the music of the season?
It's really so true, isn't it? Peter Berger, some years ago, the sociologist, spoke of what's known as signals of transcendence, the idea being that there is in every created human heart a signal that points beyond ourselves. Well, I think you should add Christmas to the list.
Yes.
The other day, Jen and I were watching one of the Christmas specials. I think it might have been the CMA special. And most of the music was very secular, and some of it wouldn't be what you'd ever want to do in a church. But then comes O Holy Night.
Yes.
And they're singing these words on national television, and whoever is watching this across the country is hearing the gospel. Yeah. And I'm thinking, isn't that the majesty of Christmas?
Amen. And that song, Oh Holy Night, I mean, you hear that song, and you can hear a needle drop. I mean, that
your spirit.
It quiets everybody. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Yeah, as you say, because the gospel message is so embedded on this. You touched a little bit on this, but I want to ask, where was Jesus born?
Great question. Bethlehem, per se. This is a little town outside of Jerusalem. It's where David was originally from, and that's where the family records were kept. So when the Romans did their census, they were required to go back there. And so when you go there today, there's what's known as the Church of the Nativity. It's the oldest church in Christian history. It goes back to early in the 4th century, and Emperor Constantine and his mother that actually built this. It was torn down, rebuilt primarily by the Crusaders. But the way you get into the church is really amazing to me. There's this tiny door. They call it the Doorway of Humility, built in the Crusader era. And the reason it's so low, you have to bend down and crawl almost through to get through. The reason they did that was they had marauding bands on horseback that were riding through the door into the church, and they were holding up the people and robbing the church. So they built this doorway so low that a horse couldn't fit through. You had to come through on your knees. You have to, in essence, come through your knees to come into the presence of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So then you come into the church itself. It's magnificent. It's a Greek Orthodox church primarily, although there's an Armenian and there's a Catholic version of it. You make your way to the front. You go around to the side of that altar. You go down 14 steps, I think it is, and you're in this cave. I'm 6'2". I have to be in the very middle of the cave in order to stand up. It's that low. It's domed at the top of it. It's small. It's oppressive. There was a fire would be the only way that it could have been lit back in the day with the smoke of that. It was where the innkeeper kept his animals. It's where the shepherds who were invited, who were the lowliest rung of the social ladder of the day. Not what we think of as shepherds today, as this beautiful idyllic images, that sort of thing. And it's right there in this cave that the Son of God became one of us, that we can be one with him.
Amen. Mary, the mother of Jesus, in some places so misunderstood, that there still seems to be a conflict and misunderstanding of this unique young woman in history.
Truly unique, wasn't she? You look at her testimony in Luke 1 and how well she knew Scripture, how amazing her recall of God's Word was as she responded to the angel's invitation to be the mother of the Son of God. But in their day and time, a person was usually, as a little girl or even upon birth, was betrothed to the person she would marry. And then when she became a reproductive age, which in their day would be 13 or 14, it's typically then that she was married. That's because infant mortality rates were so high and women died in childbirth. And so it was very typical that she would most likely have been a young teenager, 7th or 8th grade, we would say. She grew up in Nazareth, which was a very small town, so small that not mentioned even once in the Old Testament or by Josephus, but it's on the major thoroughfare known as the Via Maris. And so she would have seen the soldiers coming through and the merchants, and it was pretty typical in that day, Bill, for young ladies to make themselves, almost prostitute themselves, in order to be able to have a way out of their little town and to be able to kind of have upward mobility. Mary didn't do any of that. She kept herself chaste and pure. She was immersed in Scripture. She was such a godly young lady that the Lord could use her to be the mother of the Son of God.
Imagine. Well, we've got about 40 seconds left here, Jim. Let's wrap it up here. What's the Christmas message that you want people to hold on to this year?
Well, thank you. I'll close with my favorite Christmas card. It's got on the cover of it images of various dictators and conquerors. There's Napoleon and Genghis Khan and Hitler and all of that. The caption says, "History is filled with men who would be God." You open to a picture of Jesus in the Nativity and the words, "But only one God who would be man."
Mm.
That's what Jesus did for us, for every one of us, and would do it again today.
Well, Merry Christmas, Jim Dennison. I so appreciate you, and thank you so much. He's the co-founder, visionary of the Dennison Forum, pastor, author, and podcaster, Dr. Jim Dennison right here. Merry Christmas, Jim.
Merry Christmas, Bill. So glad to be on with you today. God bless.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a four-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Dr.